Last week we spoke about, last time we spoke about, 2 weeks ago, how David HaMelech was running away from Avshalom. Avshalom did not take the good advice of Achitophel. Instead, he listened to the bad advice, so to speak, of Hushai HaArki. And he waited. He did not attack David HaMelech immediately. He waited, and David HaMelech managed to pass the Yarden, regroup, and now they're ready to face the army of Avshalom. So let's see, start Perek Yud Ches. Yeah, you guys have it? We'll base Perek Yud Ches. Okay. So Zevka David the Sa'am Asheritoi. So David now counts the men he's got with him. V'yasi Olim, sorry, I love him, but sorry, Meis. He appoints generals, you know, for every 100,000, every 1,000. And then Vaishach David Sam Ashlishis Biad Yoyov, Vashlishis Biad Avishai Ben Tsruya, Achi Yoyov, Vashlishis Biad Itai Giti. So he divides the army into three. One group in the hand of Yoyov, he's going to be the general of the first group. Avishai, his brother, is going to be the general of the second group. And Itai Giti will be the general of the third group. Now David wishes to go out with the army. But they're not too happy about it. Why not? Ve'emar alam lo teitze. You should not join us. Why not? Kim nois nonu slevsimu aleinu lev. Right? If we run away, they don't care. They're not trying to kill us. It's not us they're after. Ve'emusa chetienu lo yasimu aleinu lev. Right? If half of us die, they're not going to care either. Kiyata chamoini asor alafim. What does this mean? Meaning, it's better that you stay back at home, back behind enemy lines. Still in the fortified city. And they're going to think, if you're not with us, first of all, they're going to think that there's another big, large army of 10,000 that's going to join the battle if needed. So they're going to be more afraid. They're going to think, uh-oh. You might be able to defeat this army, but if the army that's with David HaMelech comes, we're going to be all over. And plus, if you come with us, then what you're doing is you're putting us in danger. Because they're going to fight down to the last drop of blood, and they're going to try to kill all of us if they can in order to get to you. But if you're not with us, they're not going to care about us. We can run away, and they're not going to chase us. Because all they care about is you. So if you're not among us, you're not putting us in danger. If you come with us, then we're all in danger. We're all going to get killed. It's better that you stay back in the city while you're safe. And over there, not only are you safe, but you can, first of all, you can daven for us. Secondly, you can guide us. You can have a strategy of how to fight. And it's much better that you stay behind. David HaMelech yields to the will of the people. Right, he stays behind by the gate, and everybody goes out to fight. He gathers the generals, his three generals, and he tells them, "Listen, if you happen to capture Avshalom, please do me a favor: do not kill him. La'atli, meaning." Be gentle with him. Don't kill him. He's my son. Even though he rebelled against me, I still love him. Kerachim aval bonim. Please do me a favor. Do not hurt him in any way. How did the other people hear about this request of David HaMelech? Because the generals told the appointees that were under them, and they passed along the message until it reached all the people. Finally, everybody heard that Avshalom should be protected. So now they're all set up. So first of all, it tells us that the men of David HaMelech were mighty warriors. They were brave. They did not wait until the camp of Avshalom started attacking them. Right away, first thing they go at, they're the first ones to attack the army of Avshalom. And this battle took place in what we call Yar Ephraim. Why is it called Yar Ephraim? So the Radak explains First of all, let's remember. David is now in Eivar HaYarden, which means he's on the other side of the Yarden, not in Eretz Israel, but on the other side. Who, which Shvatim had a Nachala in the other side of the Yarden?
The 2.5 tribes.
Yeah. Right. Reuven, Gad, Chatzi Shevet Menashe. Right? Not Ephraim. So how is this taking place in Yar Ephraim? We're talking the other side of the Yarden. Yeah. Other side of Eretz Israel. How could this have... how could this be called the Yar Ephraim? So the Radak explains that one of the Takonais that Yeshua established when he divided up the land amongst the Shvatim was that they should not, the tribe should not have anything, should not stop the other tribes from grazing their animals in nearby fields or orchards that are close to their Nachala. So even though Ephraim was on the other side of the Yarden, but what they used to do is they used to take their animals across the Yarden, because there was a forest right there, and it was right there next to their Nachala. Even though it wasn't literally in their Nachala, but since it was neighboring their Nachala, it was right on the other side of the Yarden, they were still allowed to do so, and that's why it's called Yar Ephraim, because they used to have their animals graze over there.
Amen.
Okay, so
you take more of a sip today. Baruch a light that. Come on, we're gonna make a little fun.
Thank you.
That's up.
What would I do without you, Archie? I don't know. I would be on the thirsty. Okay, so now, so the battle is beginning.
I get this thing is getting me. Before we said that Avshalom had the okay from the Sanhedrin.
Well, he didn't have the okay. What he did was, he fooled the Sanhedrin.
Yeah.
To be with him, right? Remember the letter that he got from David HaMelech, that two people should join him? He showed it to every two people from the Sanhedrin, and he fooled them to come and join his camp. We're going to see later on exactly how he's punished for that.
But, I mean, wouldn't they try to stop him from killing each other?
Well, they don't have any power right now. They thought that they're listening to the orders of David HaMelech. They had no clue that Avshalom was pursuing this coup to take over the kingdom, right? So they presented themselves as if they're with Avshalom. They had no idea they're working against David HaMelech.
Yeah, but
at this point, it's too late. You already have the armies formed. Avshalom put together an army, right? David HaMelech is obviously
fighting.
Yeah, now they're fighting. It's too late. There's nothing they can do. They can't tell everybody not to fight, because there are many people that are very loyal to Avshalom. Remember what he used to do? He used to wait by the gates and talk to everyone about their court cases and about how they were right.
But why should they think it's okay to kill the other ones?
I mean, you're right. It's a terrible thing. You have brothers that are fighting.
We're not talking about two different countries. We're talking about Jews that are all religious, and they're all they have the thing and everything else in here. And it boggles me to find out that all of a sudden they're killing each other.
But you're right. It's a terrible tragedy.
What's the excuse?
It's all through all Jewish history.
They believe that they're rooting for the right king, right? They believe now, right, that anyone who's not, let's take the men of Avshalom, right? They're rooting for Avshalom. They believe that anyone who's now joining the camp of David HaMelech is considered to be a rebel against the king, because Avshalom is now king. He took over. David HaMelech is on the run. He left the palace. Avshalom
He is the king. Not that
king.
He wants to be the king.
They're assuming that he's the king. And anyone who's not still supporting David HaMelech is a rebel against the king. Anyone who's a rebel deserves to die. Period. So it's tragedy. But you should know it's not the only time, unfortunately, that you have brothers fighting amongst each other. For example, the story of Pilegesh Bagiva. Right, with Shevet Binyamin. Shevet Binyamin, they went ahead and they raped one of the, it's a whole long story, they raped a woman of a guy, and he went ahead and sent, cut up her body, he sent pieces of her body to the rest of the tribes, to the rest of the Shvatim, and they all attacked Shevet Binyamin. It was a major war between Shevet Binyamin and the rest of Klal Yisrael.
That's another thing, and I thought I didn't understand that
terrible.
Either. But,
okay. You're right, it's horrible.
I mean, we're not talking about Goyim, we're talking about religious people.
You're right.
Well, it happened in the first base of Mikdash. It happened in the second base of Mikdash. It happened with the...
Is still before the first base of Mikdash.
It was civil war all the time.
Yeah.
What it happened?
Very unfortunate.
It happened. Jews didn't fight Jews because in the base of Mikdash. They fought against other countries.
Absolutely not.
They were
They fought against themselves.
Huh?
There were a few times, like over here.
They were killing each other. They were sitting. They weren't doing the mitzvahs. Okay. That's a different thing. But
yeah, you're right. It's very unfortunate. It's a tragedy.
Okay.
It happened. I know it's very troubling. So now let's see what happens. Pasuk Zayin. V'yinok v'yishom am Yisrael lifnei Avnei David. The men of Avsholem, the rest of the Jewish people, are now being defeated by the army of David, but there are 20,000 men that died that day.
Yeah.
Right? So the pasuk is telling us, first of all, that right away, Vaynak Visham is right away, from the get go, from the beginning, they started losing and they started dying right away. Because they were terrified from the army of David. The army of David and Melech attacked them immediately. Right? They were so terrified, they were not as mighty warriors, and they were not as brave as the army of David, and they started running away.
But this is... David is not with them.
David is not with them, no.
Does David know what they were doing?
Yeah. He knew there would be...
It was okay with David for them to do that. I mean, he's not
according
there.
According to the truth, they were rebels. Anyone who joined Absalom were rebels against the real king, David. So they did deserve to die. Right?
Well, he told them, don't kill Absalom.
Right. Okay, we'll see what happens.
But maybe he didn't want to kill the rest of the people either.
Well, Absalom he had special mercy for because he was son.
Okay.
So let's see, Pasuk Ches. But they shall have Melchama to fight us. Al pnei kol haaretz, right? The men of Absalom are scattered all over the earth. They're running away, running for their lives. V'yir of a yar lechol ba'am, masher ach lecher b'yemu. Said most of the people died not from the sword. They didn't die from the army of Absalom. They died as they were running away. It says because they were in the forest. They either ran into trees and tripped and fell and ended up killing themselves, or wild animals killed them. So the forest that was the one that really caused most of the damage, and the people most of the people who died because of the forest, and not because of the men of David.
Well, you start running away in confusion. You don't know what you're doing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because they get attacked by animals and everything else. And
yeah.
Who else was in the forest?
Yeah, exactly. So v'yikare Avshalom yifnei avdi David. Now, it happened to be that Avshalom was running away. And let's see what happens. V'Avshalom reichev al haperet, he's riding his mule. V'yaver haperet tachas shoyvecha ela, hagdela. As he's riding under a branch of a big tree, as he's riding, he's running for his life, he realizes that he lost the battle. So he's riding and his hair, remember he had really long hair, he gets caught in the branch and he gets caught and the mule keeps on riding, so he's basically stuck between heavens and earth. He's standing there in midair. No, he's still alive.
He's still alive at this point.
Oh. Just hanging there. You know,
he's hanging
swinging
there.
Away.
He's hanging there in midair. Now, why did this happen to him? Chazal say, because he had gaiva. He used his hair as his main source of arrogance, of gaiva. That's why he was punished with his hair. Yeah. Now, another question is, why didn't he just, whip out his sword? And cut up the hair. Okay, listen, the hair is very nice, but when your life is in danger, give up the hair and run away, right? So Chazal said he didn't want to do that because it says, Ra Gehenom Psucho Lemitachtav. He saw the opening of Gehenom right under him. So he didn't want to do that. He, just like we find by Korach, right, when the earth opened up and all the people fell in, it says that everyone fell straight into Gehenom.
But he figured if he cut his hair, he would fall
down. He was going to fall straight into Gehenom.
Because he's been hanged. The trees keeping him up.
Yeah, the trees keeping him up. If he cuts off his hair, you're going to fall straight into Gehenna.
Could have cut off half his hair and go halfway to hell.
Yeah. It's a possibility. So now what happens? One soldier of David finds Avshalom hanging there. So he goes over, he tells Yoav, who's the main general of David, he tells him, listen, I saw Avshalom hanging there. Yoav turns to the man and he tells him, if you saw him, why didn't you kill him right there on the spot? What are you waiting for? If you would have killed him, I would have given you a great reward, lots of money and riches. You would be the one to kill Avshalom, the main rebel against the king. He turns to Yoav in horror and he says, even if you pay me 1,000 coins of silver, which is a huge sum of money at the time, I will not kill Ben HaMelech. First of all, because he's the prince. Who am I to kill the prince, the heir apparent? Another reason is, David HaMelech told us, he gave us a message not to kill Avshalom. He told not only us, he told the other generals, don't tell me that you're the only one that he told. He told Avishai, the other general, Itai Giti, please do me a favor and guard the life of Avshalom. If I go against my conscience and I kill Avshalom, don't think the king is not going to find out. He is going to find out. When the king finds out, you're not going to come to my help. You're not going to support me and tell the king that you were the one who gave the order to kill Avshalom. You're going to leave me hanging. I'm going to be the one that's going to be held responsible. So don't tell me to go ahead and kill Avshalom. I know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yoav he says, you're right. I should not be the one to order you to kill him. I should go before you. I should be the one to go ahead and do it. He takes three
dots.
These darts, the sharp part of the battle axe. He takes them, the sharp part. Three of them.
What
sharp part of the battle axe, meaning the end of the battle axe. The battle axe is like a long spear, right?
Spear.
Yeah, so he takes the end part, take it off, and he took three of those in order to kill Avshalom.
And those, like, what do you call it? In the army, they put them on the rifles.
Right.
Bayonets.
Bayonets,
right. Yeah. So he takes three of those, and so why three? So, Mefarshim explained, because he stole the heart of three people. He stole the heart of David, his father. He stole the heart of the Sanhedrin when he fooled them. This is what we were talking about before. When he fooled them that David wants them to join him, that was the second heart that he stole. And he stole the heart of the Jewish people. That's why he was punished with these three bayonets that Avshalom is using to kill him. Now, what does it say? It says that he sticks them in the heart of Avshalom, while he's still alive, in the heart of the tree. What does that mean? It says that he stuck them so hard into the heart of Avshalom that it actually went through his body and into the tree. So he's got three bayonets, he sticks them all into his heart, and they're through his body into the tree, and Avshalom is not dead yet. He's still alive. Did not die. Mm-hmm. You can imagine what suffering he's going through.
Well, this happened now. Is Absalom still sitting on his horse? Or?
No. The horse is gone.
He ran away.
He's hanging there in midair. He's hanging in midair.
He didn't fall down.
No.
Stud. He just hanging with the thing stuck in through him.
Terrible. So now Yoav tells 10 of his men to go ahead and kill Avshalom. The 10 personal servants of Yoav go ahead. They go ahead and they kill Avshalom. They go ahead and they kill Avshalom. So now, what's the significance of 10? So the Radak explains. The ten was because he came with the 10 pilakshim of his father, because he was intimate with 10 of the concubines of David HaMelech. That's why he was punished by these 10 swords that ended up killing him. So we see everything over here has significance. So what happens now? Yoav blows the shofar as a sign stop the war. He wanted to spare the people. Right? The battle is over. Avshalom is dead. There's no point. We try to spare as many lives as possible. We don't want the Jews to be killing Jews.
They took him while he was hanging. He wasn't dead yet with things thinking. I don't know. It's pretty good thing. He should be bleeding like profusely. He wasn't dead. And they took him, they threw him in a pit. And they covered him with stones.
Well, first he tells ten of his men to kill him. He sends 10 of his men to kill him with a sword.
So they took him and they put him in a hit, and he was still alive, so they buried him alive, actually.
No. First, Yoav took 3 bayonets, he stuck them in his heart,
right.
Then he was still alive.
Yeah.
And after that, he told 10 of his men to kill him. So once his 10 of his men killed him, he was actually dead.
Oh, then they threw him in the pit.
And then afterwards
they
threw him in the pit.
I thought they threw him in the pit while he was so. Okay.
No. Ve'ikhu, this is what you're talking about. Ve'ikhu is Avshalom ve'ishlichu eis ha'bayar el ha'pachas ha'godol ve'yitzivu olav gal avonim gadol oid. They threw him in the pit and they put a bunch of rocks on top of the grave. V'chol Yisrael nosu ish la'oyalav. The rest of the men of Avshalom are running home, running for their lives, literally. They don't want to be killed by the men of David. And they run home because they know that they're safe there. So, now, Avshalom lokach v'yotzav lo'im chayov es matzemes asher b'emek ha'melech ki omar en li ven b'avur haskir shmi. So it says, Avshalom lokach, what does it mean he took? Just like it says, v'yikach koirach, right? Which means Korach assumed that position, so too Avshalom assumed this position of rebelling against his father, David. And now, because of this, he is being buried in such a way, which is not such an honorable way to be buried, with a bunch of rocks on top of you. So now, why was he punished like this? Okay, we'll see. he did not have any sons, it says over here. He did not have any sons, and Chazal say the reason why he was punished without any sons, because anyone who burns the field of somebody else does not have a son to inherit him. That's how he's punished. That's his punishment. So since he burnt, remember he burnt the field of Yoav, after he came back to Eretz Yisrael and David HaMelech was ignoring him, he was upset at Yoav, why did you bring me back? For no reason, I'm just here and David HaMelech doesn't want to see me. So what did he do? He burnt the field of Yoav, and that's why he was punished that he's not going to have any son. So this is mentioned over here. The Ikra Lametzeves al Shmoi Veikar La Yad Avshalom. Yad means place, literally. Ad Hayom Hazeh. This is until today. We know where the kever, where the grave of Avshalom is, and that's what it's called.
I'll see if I can bring a picture of when I.
Yeah.
So you can get an idea I told you what's inside there, my son found.
Mm-hmm.
A Coca-Cola can.
Yeah. I'm sure there's many more of those.
How long how long in time did the battle take?
It sounds like, it doesn't say exactly, but it sounds like it was very short. Right in the beginning, the men of Avshalom started losing. They were losing the battle.
How
many days?
It started, now say, 12 o'clock. And when did it end?
It doesn't say, I didn't see anywhere.
It didn't take days.
No, it didn't take, it sounds like it was all in the same day. A few hours.
It was all the same days, yeah. And that was it.
Yeah, it was very quick. Very, very quick. Yeah. V'achimat mitzolek omar rutzano v'abasres ha-melech. So now, Achimat, who remember was the spy to bring over the advice of Hushai Arki and the advice of Achitofel over to David, he now says, okay, I'm going to be the one to go ahead and bring this message to the king, kishavta Hashem yad oivav, that he was now saved from the hands of his enemy. V'hemer la-yoyav, lo-ish b'seira ato ha-yoyim hazeh. We start to be a macher. He tells him, "You're not going to be the one to give him the message today. You should be." Meaning, there is three potential reasons that you should be the one to go ahead and give him the message. Reason number one is the way it worked was the way the system was. Is that every day there was an appointed man who would bring the king all the news. So Yehov is telling him, "You're not the one who was appointed today to bring the news to the king." So that reason is out. Second reason is. That you want to come to bring him good news, right? But this is not such good news because Avshalom is dead, right? Now, just one more point: Why did Yoav kill Avshalom? He had clear orders from David HaMelech not to kill him. Why did he disobey the orders of the king? So the reason is because, remember, he was the one, as you mentioned, he was the one to bring Avshalom back originally. Right, he was in exile by his grandfather, who was not Jewish. Yoav was the one who brought him back, and he was the one who brought him to the house of the king. He felt that if Avshalom would stay alive, this turmoil would still be going on. Right, the rebels would still want Avshalom to be their king, and it's not going to end until Avshalom is actually dead. So he felt a sense of responsibility to end it because he was the one who put David in this position in the first place. Mm-hmm. And also he felt very betrayed by Avshalom, because he asked him to bring him back to David HaMelech. What does he do? He rebels against David HaMelech. So he felt a very strong sense of betrayal. That's why he took it out on Avshalom, he took revenge, and he decided to kill him, for those two reasons.
So we would say in this case that it's strictly Nekama. He's not a of Pinchas.
Yeah, well, it's also revenge because he felt betrayed.
Right.
But also he felt a sense of responsibility for the loyalty of David HaMelech. He was very loyal to David HaMelech. And he felt he was the one who put David in that position. He's got to end it. You know, he's responsible.
Even though David told him not to do it.
Yeah, yeah. But he felt that, you know, it would be for the better of David HaMelech, even though David HaMelech had mercy.
Right.
Okay, so Avshalom tells, Yoav tells Achimatz not to report to David HaMelech, right? I don't want you to be the one to bring the bad news to David HaMelech. It's not fit for the son of the Kohen to bring such bad news to the king. Yoav Kushi, he tells the Kushi, who's the Kushi? Kushi was the first man who saw Avshalom hanging. Why is he called Kushi? Either because he came from the Eretz Kush, he was actually black, and he converted, or because he was really Jewish, but he just happened to be black-skinned, dark-skinned. In any case, he's called the Kushi. Lech aged ha-melech asher eisa. Go tell the king what you've seen and how Shalom died. V'yishtach ha-kushi le-yoyav v'yaretz. He bows down to Yoyav, and he starts running to David HaMelech. He tells him, listen, at least let me give David the good news. You're right, the Kushi is going to deliver the bad news to David HaMelech, but I should be the one to deliver the good news. Right, why not? Why are you so desperate to give the good news, right? The Cushi could give both news, both the good news and the bad news, right? Mm-hmm. But he tells him, "Vihima oruz v'emalei roots." He decides to go anyway. He tells him, "Yeah, no, you really want to go." He's very stubborn, so he tells him, "Fine, if you want to go, go ahead." He runs past the Cushi on his way because he's really fast. So now David is sitting there between the two gates. He's waiting to hear the news from the battlefield. Now, they had a man who was appointed to...
God.
He was a guard who was appointed to have an outlook to see who was coming. Now, it says that he was al choyma. He was on the wall. He wasn't standing over the gate. Because the way it works is, you have a man over the gate. The man over the gate, if he sees someone coming, he doesn't tell the king himself. He gives a message to another guard who's on the wall. And he's the one who goes out and tells the king. The only time the guard that's over the gate will go out and tell the king directly is only if the matter is very urgent. Otherwise, he's going to send a messenger. So now, the man over the gate happened to be over the wall. Because Achimath was coming from around. He's coming from behind. He wasn't coming straight to the gate. So the guard happened to be in the wall, and he sees Achimath coming from the other side. He sees a man running by himself. So now he realized the matter is very urgent. He's obviously carrying a message from the battlefield. That's why he went himself and went ahead and brought the news to David HaMelech. Even though typically it's done through a messenger. So now this time he sees another man running. So now this time it's obviously not that urgent because the first messenger has a very urgent message. The second one is probably not that urgent. So therefore, what does he do? He tells the guard who's standing, the messenger who's standing by the gate, and he's sending him to David Melech. He's not going himself because it's not that urgent. That's the difference between the two cases. Right, there's a man running by himself. Melech says, okay, this is also coming with good news. If he's running by himself, it must be good news. So he tells the guard, tells David, listen, I can recognize the running of the first runner, and I can see that it's Achimatz. Oh, if it's Achimatz, it must be, it's not fit, like Yoav said, it's not fit for the son of the Kohen to come with bad news. Mm-hmm. So if it's the son of the Kohen, Achimatz, it must be that he's delivering good news. So David is now, he's got his hopes up, he's hoping that Avshalom is still alive. Achimatz tells the king, he tells him Shalom, and he bows down. So listen, he's very careful with his language. He doesn't say, yeah, don't worry, Hashem killed all your enemies, because that would mean that Avshalom was dead. All he says is the men that were fighting against you are now captured.
They were defeated.
So it's a very broad statement that could be interpreted in many ways, right? So he's not telling him that Avshalom had died, because he does not want to be the one to deliver the bad news, right? He wants the Cushi to do the dirty job, the dirty work. So he tells him, he's not saying it in a question. He's saying, "Oh, it must be that Shalom, that Avshalom is fine." Mm-hmm. So now Achimatz is avoiding the question. Yeah. There was a great group of people who wanted me and Yoav to go and deliver the news to you, the king. He's stalling. He's trying to stall until the Cushi comes and delivers the bad news. And he's just telling him, "Listen, there was a big group of people who were sending me, you know, to bring you this news." He tells him, okay, why don't you stand around the side? Because he knows that there's a second runner coming. Now the second runner, the Cushi, comes. Now the Cushi is more a bit more obvious, and he tells the king, you are now, all your enemies were killed. He says, Hashem judged all the enemies that came up against you. So now David Melech is getting worried. Uh-oh. This is referring to Avshalom. So now you're telling me that Avshalom is dead? That's what it sounds like that the Cushi is saying. Unlike the first time when he told Achimat, he tells him, what did he tell him the first time? Shalom Lanar Avshalom, meaning he's not saying it in a question. He's saying, I'm assuming that Avshalom is doing fine. But now he's getting worried because the Cushi told him something that sounds like that Avshalom is dead. Right? So he's asking a question. Is Avshalom really, is he okay? Is he alive? Is he dead? Now he's actually delivering the bad news, and he says, yes, in fact, Avshalom is dead. Now David HaMelech is finally delivered with the terrible news. And we're going to see next week, we'll see how he reacts, and how he deals with Yoav. It's a very sad point for David HaMelech. But now another reason why David HaMelech, just to end off, another reason why David HaMelech did not want Avshalom to be killed was, first of all, because he realized that this is a punishment for him. I mean, obviously Avshalom did not do the right thing, but he knew that this is him being punished for what he did with Bathsheba, right? The Navi told him that four of his sons are going to be killed. He knew that this is the Navi told him that from within his house people are going to come up against him. So he knew that now that it's his personal punishment. So he had nothing against Avshalom because it's all his fault, so to speak. It's David HaMelech's fault, and that's why he did not want Avshalom to be killed, besides for the fact that he had mercy on him. Okay, we'll stop here.
It's interesting, like the Lashon that the Cushi says is...